Mountain Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope.
We don't want to answer and be accountable, but we tell our children too. I'm saying to you, because I love you today, that we need to get back to a place of honor where we honor government and we honor authorities that are set before us, that we demonstrate honor in our life. The Word said to do it. I don't always agree with my president, but I'm going to respect him. I'm going to tell you something else. If President Obama walked in here, or Hillary Clinton walked in here, if she was the president, I would show her respect. I'm not going to disrespect her.
Up about 5 o'clock this morning and was praying and preparing for, mentally preparing. I don't wait till Sundays to write sermons. That's not me. I'm way ahead of that. But I do get up in the mornings to prepare so that I'm ready to minister to you and share the Word of God with you. And with all of that said, early this morning, thinking about grandparents, I did a quick look and I wanted to see just some more information in my own ancestry tree. And my biological grandfather is from Thomaston. And I never knew him. He passed away in, I believe, 85. I would have been 10 years old. I do remember attending the funeral in Thomaston. His name was Harkness Jack Martin. Now, with that said, I never really knew him, knew nothing about him. I just knew my mother knew his name. And so I had some information, and I found something interesting that I'm going to search into some more, that as I just took a glance this morning, that there, my step-grandfather, Ellington, who was from Barnesville, Charles Ellington was his name, and I'm saying this for a reason. He was a granddaddy to me. He raised me and was there my entire life, and I loved him dearly. But he had some Petermans in his family. And so I'm going to have to get with Miss Becky and start asking some questions and see. Who knows? You never know, amen? But it's neat to me to see family, history, lineage. When you can look back and see your third great-grandfather and your fourth great, you know, like Thomas Odell Martin. That's one of the names on my biological grandfather's side. And he was born in 1798, I think it was, and lived into the 1860s, I believe. And you begin to look at that history and you say, why are you saying that? Because I believe that history is important. I do not believe that we live in the past, but I do believe we should learn from the past. And I believe that one of the valued things in our life that many times we forget are the values that our grandparents are able to pass on to us. So I'm hoping the younger generation will listen to me today. One of the cool things I can remember doing with my grandfather that I loved, and this isn't in my notes this morning, was making helping me make my own parachutes for my G.I. Joe men. Anybody know how we did that? A handkerchief, that's right. He would take out a handkerchief, he'd take out some string, and he'd cut it, and we'd get the strings equal length, and then Brother Alton, we'd sling G.I. Joe as high up in there as we could. And he'd parachute back down. And then he had his little wood bit, his little auger, the little that he would bore, wood bore, I don't know what you call it. It would basically put holes in wood. What do you call that? It was an auger of some sort, kind of like you'd use on the ground, but this was for wood. And he would give me a piece of board. I know what he was doing now. He got me out of his hair. Because I would sit there for hours on end, David, with that bit and just bore holes in a piece of old wood over. And then he had a can, an old coffee can full of roofing tacks and a hammer. And he'd give me a piece of board, and he'd give me that hammer, and he'd give me those roofing tacks, and I'd nail them in, and I'd nail them in, and I'd nail them in, while he sat on the porch just relaxing. See, Papa knew how to do what we do with phones today. And televisions today, and other things that we tend to use to occupy. He did it with a hammer and some nails, and an auger. Amen. Grandparents are a lot smarter than you think, guys. They're very crafty and intelligent, and they know how to take care of you better than you could ever imagine. Can somebody say amen? All right, I want to share the Word with you this morning. I'm going to be finishing a four-part series entitled Foundations of Faith. This is part four. The title of today's message is A Life of Honor. A Life of Honor. Now, we're going to have lunch to follow for you guys today, for everybody here. We hope that you'll stay. How do you like this guy? Kind of reminds me of Brother Bart, just a little bit skinnier. No, I'm kidding. But I liked him. He's funny. He seems happy. Some people you meet, they're just happy. And he's no doubt an older gentleman, and he's just got a big old smile. And it took me back. He reminded me of a guy I met in Romania. Very first time I ever went to Romania on a mission trip, he would come every day, and he would bring us fruit. And he always smiled, but he had no teeth. And that's what this guy reminded me of. And no matter how many days, how much rain, no matter what was going on, he was always smiling. I think sometimes people are forgotten, and sometimes we don't honor them the way that we should. I want to read you something this morning. The word honor, in a simple definition, means high respect, or esteem. My grandmother used to say things I didn't agree with as a child. She called, everybody know what putt-putt is? Anybody? Miniature golf, basically. The putt-putt we had in Albany, Georgia, had go-karts, had an arcade, had batting cages. Then they added boats, little water boat things in. And we liked to go there as teenagers and hang out. And she said, I wouldn't have anything for you. I wouldn't want you to ever go to that devil's hole, is what she'd say. She called it the devil's hole. And I thought, the devil's hole, we called her Big Mama. Big Mama is just putt-putt. What's so evil about putt-putt? But see, Big Mama was brought up in the old holiness line, and a lot of those things, like picture shows, as they called them. Anybody know what a picture show is? That's what my grandmother and grandfather, I still remember as a child. I'm like, picture show? What is a picture show? But they thought it was evil to go to that. But no matter what she said and what I disagreed with, she always held the highest respect in my life. I always wanted to honor her and to love her because she stood for something that was valuable to me. Are you hearing me? Sometimes I fear that we live in a world and a time where that level of respect is being forgotten. Maybe the hairstyle is a little bit different. Maybe the way they dress is a little bit different. Well, amen. Y'all are awful quiet this morning. Maybe grandma or grandpa sees putt-putt as the devil's hole. But can I tell you something? We need to honor them. Because she installed values in my life that will forever go with me. Success without honor is an unseasoned dish. It will satisfy your hunger, but it won't taste good. I'll say that again. Success without honor, somehow in the world we live in, I often see this. We want success, but without honor. We don't care who we step on to get to where we need to be, who we talk bad about, or how we treat other individuals. As long as we can arise to the occasion. But there was a generation and a time where we would never do that. Where if I had to succeed by belittling you or stepping on you or pushing you aside, that wasn't success. Today we want to succeed many times and we're willing to do that without any honor. You say, Pastor, this is kind of a tough sermon. We need to hear it today. I hope that in this house today that every one of us leave here with a different mentality about living a life of honor. I hope that I can instill this in my 14-year-old daughter. And if my grandson was able to be here today and soon to have granddaughter, I want to instill inside of them as my life changes and I grow older and they grow up that Papa taught them something about honor. Oh, I want to preach this morning. I hope you'll open your hearts and you'll listen to it. See, I happen to understand that I serve a Savior that hung naked on a cross. That I serve the King of Kings who laid down His life and gave up all recognition so that you and I could be saved today. You want to talk about honor? Let's talk about Jesus. You want to talk about living this life in a way that changes the world? Put a little bit of honor back in the recipe. Where we see people as Jesus sees people, that we don't judge people based on their color or their economic status. How young or how old they are. Sometimes we can even be wrong in our generation when we look down at the younger and think that there's something wrong with them because they're a little bit different. I pick on Kylie. She knows her daddy. I love her very much. And I give her kind of a hard time sometimes just playing with her because she gives me a hard time. But one thing that I know about her is that she knows how to show honor. I'm not saying she's perfect. She's like every child. She'll make her mistakes. But I've never heard her say, yeah. I'm going to go a step further. This is one of those that just came to my mind. Your wife is not your old lady. Your husband's not your old man. You say, well, Pastor, I don't mean nothing by it. I understand that. But we live in a world today where people hear that and children take that and run with it. She's not my old lady. She is the love of my life. She is my wife and deserves full and complete respect. Well, amen. I think you should give. Well, give me a hand. That was a good one. I'm kidding. Honor should not be limited to the popular or seeming successful people of society. Honor is a standard by which all Christians should live. Matthew chapter 25, verse 35 through 40. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did you see you're hungry? When did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And verse 40 says, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. I say to you this morning, the first thing that I'd like for you to write down is a true life of honor includes those who are often overlooked. A true life of honor includes those who are often overlooked. Now, I look around this morning and I see a lot of families and grandmas and grandpas with their children and their grandchildren and they're loved and they're in relationships, but there are grandparents today that are forgotten. There are grandparents that for some reason have been pushed aside, and I say to you that we have a job to honor them. We have a job to respect them. Anyone, no one should be forgotten. No one should be pushed aside. No one should be looked down upon. Even the word said here, for what you have done unto the least of these, you've done it as unto the Lord. The homeless, the broken, the sick, the needy. Today we received an offering to send to Disaster Relief USA. That's not a band-aid on some type of wound. We want to serve. We want to give. We want to do. There's many ways to serve, and we want to give the best that we can. Why? Because we want to demonstrate honor. Not everybody's physically able to go to the mission field, but we can support those who are there. I believe we should honor and love those. I've stood in places in such poverty that I never knew existed. I've seen people broken and hurting and destitute and just wanted. And sometimes we say, why do you go to the mission field? Why do you go to the mission field? We've got all these things here at home to do. We do have these things at home, and we're doing those things too. But I found out as many times the people that are complaining about the mission field won't walk across the street and even invite their neighbor to church. Well, amen. I've seen it with my own eyes. Preaching a little tough right now, but somebody say amen. I go to the field because it changes lives. When you stand on foreign soil in another country and somebody says, you came here for what? You mean to tell me you flew 5,000 miles to stand here and tell me about who? Most of us here have grew up in the Bible Belt. We've heard about Jesus on a regular basis. But there are parts of this world that have never heard His name mentioned the way you and I have. Well, amen. I want to read you a story this morning. Abraham Lincoln once said, die when I may, I want it said of me by those who know me best that I have always plucked a thistle and planted a rose when I thought a rose would grow. He said that after a brief visit with Laura Sue Jones on Christmas Day of 1864. Miss Jones was a 23-year-old young woman from the South, trapped in Washington since the beginning of the war. She desired a pass to cross Union lines and travel into Richmond, where she planned to marry a Confederate soldier. Moved by the emotional plea of this overlooked girl, President Lincoln nodded his head, picked up a pen, and wrote a special travel pass. Miss Jones was speechless. Falling on her knees before Lincoln, she grasped his hand in gratitude. He insisted she get up and thank God and not him. Rising, Miss Jones replied, goodbye, Mr. President, and may God bless you. I shall probably never see you until we one day meet in heaven. Lincoln answered, that you wish me to get there, I believe, is the best wish you probably could make for me. Goodbye, Miss Jones. Mr. Lincoln honored this outcast thistle by replanting her where she could bloom as a rose. That's a neat story. Here he is, the President of the United States. Here she is wanting to cross enemy lines at the time into Confederate territory and marry a Confederate soldier. And he granted her the pass to enter in back to her home because he wanted to demonstrate to someone who was an outcast in the place where she lived or was trapped a simple act of love. I say to you this morning that God's calling us to walk a life of honor. God's calling us to learn to love people who are an outcast. Luke 2 and 8, I want to read you something if you'll turn there with me this morning. And while you're turning, I'll share this with you. In 22 years of pastoral ministry, I've often found that this life of honor includes dealing with those who feel overlooked, who feel like an outcast, and who feel unappreciated. See, there's some of you sitting in this very house this morning. Before this service is over, by the work of the Holy Spirit and the love and grace of Jesus Christ, you're going to walk out of here completely different when you came in, because when you walked in, you felt like an outcast. You felt unloved and you felt underappreciated. I pray that no one in this house has to feel that way today. I pray that no one, if Mountain Gap can give you anything through the love of Jesus Christ, that you will not walk out of here today feeling unloved, like an outcast, and underappreciated. That you will know you're loved. Luke 2 verse 8 said, "Now there were in the same country shepherds." Everybody say shepherds. "Living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." Now I know that when we read this passage of Scripture, we think of Christmas. Amen. We think of fluffy sheep and sweet little shepherds. What we don't consider is the stench. I don't see Neely. She in here? She's not here. Marcus, do you smell good when you come out the chicken houses? You don't look like you look right now, do you, brother? There's times I've been around and go shake his hand. He's like, "Oh, man, I've been working." I said, "I'm not worried about a little dirt." Talking to a man that used to crawl into houses all day, every day for a living. I don't mind dirt and I don't mind chemicals and I don't mind stink. But when we think about the shepherds, you know what we think about? Sweet, fluffy sheep, Christmas time, a story. What we don't think about is the stench. We don't think about the fact they had no showers and that they were nomads and lived out in the field. We don't think about the fact that the reality was that a shepherd in that day and time was the outcast of society. They were socially unacceptable. Nobody wanted them near town. Nobody wanted them to be in their community. They wanted them to stay outside the city as far as they possibly could to raise their sheep because they were dirty and nasty and frowned upon. And socially unaccepted during this biblical era of time. But were they not the first? Come on now. Were they not the ones that went to the manger? Were they not the ones that got to see Jesus? Were they not the ones that the angel appeared to? Oh, come on now. You got to get this in your spirit this morning. See, some of you sitting here today, you feel like the outcast. You feel like nobody understands you. I want to say to you today that as a Christian who wants to walk in honor, I'm going to teach you what the Word said. That when Jesus Christ chose you, He gave value to your life. When He laid down His life, He demonstrated that you were worth something precious and important and special to Him. Just like when His birth was announced to the shepherds, He wanted them to know that He loved them like He loved all of His creation. No matter how mankind had treated them, no matter what position in the society they had been assigned, that He loved them just like they were. And He loves you that way too. Maybe you don't have the same education as the next guy. Maybe you're not as smart as your neighbor. But Jesus loves you. God chose dirty, smelly nomads who live in tents to visit the birth of His Son. And through the Messiah, He validated their worth. Number two, the second thing I want you to write down this morning, and this is where it's going to get really good, is a true life of honor recognizes biblical precedence. A true life of honor recognizes biblical precedence. What do you mean? If you're really going to walk in honor, there's certain things the Word is very clear on, and you're going to have to acknowledge them. You don't have to like them, but you got to know them. I don't like the fact that gravity says if I jump out of an airplane, I'm going to hit the ground. I want to fly. Come on, be honest with me. How many of you just wish you could just jump out of an airplane and just fly? Maybe you say, Pastor, that's kind of childish. Oh, well, whatever. When I get to heaven, I'm going to fly. I just believe it. I, man, just free, no restrictions, right? Well, I don't have to like the law of gravity, but the truth is, if I jump out of that plane without a parachute, it's not going to end well. I can be mad about it, talk about it, say I hate it from the time I leave till I smack the earth. But the law of gravity says I'm going to hit the ground. What goes up must come down. Amen. So I'm going to show you some biblical principles about honor. You don't have to like them, but they're truth. And we are to strive to acknowledge them and to honor them in our lives as we follow Christ. Number one this morning, as we recognize biblical precedents, the Word says we're to honor government. Oh, I can hear. It's not easy. Well, Pastor, I know, here you go. Bring in politics. That's not politics. That's Word. Don't get mad at me. I gave you Bible. You get mad at me for Bible, shame on you. You need to repent. I'm going to prove it to you. You ready? Romans 13:13 said, let every soul be subject to government authorities. I started to ask Ben or Michael or one of them to wear their police uniform this morning. I need a chair. We got any chairs in here? I'll just use the pulpit. Here we go. You know, my wife's got a Mustang. Come up here, Michael. Come help me a minute. Please, sir. Y'all give him a hand. But you know what? I pick on you all the time. Come up here, Ben. I'll use Ben. And then you can evaluate him. See? This is how this goes. We got this going on. Come on up here, Ben. Isn't he sharp? Y'all give him a hand this morning. All right. I see Ben, you know, he works for the City of Thomaston Police Department. The Thomaston Police. Anyway, city. I see him sometimes at the school crossing in the morning early, and I see Mike as well, and I appreciate them. We live in a world today that I said earlier many times forgets honor. All right. So my wife's got this cool Mustang. It's 5.0. It's like 435 horsepower, I think. And don't even talk about how expensive the tires are for that rascal. It's got custom exhaust on it. It's got a cold air intake. It's got a programmer on it. When you fire it up, it's like, preacher shouldn't own anything. Oh, shame on you. Forget that. She owns it, not me. It's in her name. She bought it. She chose it. Used to have a lowering kit on it, too. She took that off because she couldn't go through a car wash with it. Had Mickey Thompson slicks on it the day that we bought it. Anyway, if I'm coming through town, you know, that's not the best imitation I'm trying. And I'm running 75 and it's 40. Woo! I'm on that side, so you got to do your thing. Do what you do. You just pull me over. Yeah, what do you do? Yeah, come over here and do it for me. Yeah, just pretend I'm in trouble. Not what you'd really do, because I know you'd be nice to me. But anyway, you pull me. What would you say to me? What do you say to me? Going too fast. Uh-huh. What do you need from me?
Need your ID. Got your license.
Okay. I also have a gun carry permit in there. Am I supposed to tell you that?
That's fine.
It's okay.
I
got that in there, too. I know I'm supposed to take them out, but just take my wallet, but don't steal my money, okay? Here's my point. Hand me that. We live in a world today where some people, the first thing they want to do is this. That's right. See what this policeman's going to say to me. No. Yes, sir, officer. Oh, come on now. Yes, sir, officer. What do you need? You need my license? Yes, sir. Here they are. Jesus, please don't let him give me a ticket. You need my insurance? Yes, sir, officer. Here it is. If he pulled me over, I would be, yes, sir. Well, you're his pastor. Doesn't matter. I was speeding. You can go back and have a seat. Oh, I'm not getting enough amens out of that. Amen. We live in a world today, we want to test authority. We want to question authority. If he told me, and some police officers might, I realize you have a gun carrying permit. Do you have your pistol on you? Well, yes, sir, I do. Would you step out of the car? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, why? Because you don't know what some people will do. His life's in danger when he walks up to my window. We've known officers that have lost their life. But we've got this attitude that there's no more honor, no more respect, because you get one bad policeman or one bad preacher. Well, it's good. One bad doctor, one bad lawyer, one bad parent, or whatever it may be, and now all of a sudden everybody else, treat them with contempt. No, treat them with respect. Yes, sir, officer. I'll be glad to step out of the car. It's right here on my left side. It's not today, actually, but it's right here. If he wants to take it off on me, if he wants to unload it, if he wants to do whatever he wants to do, I want him to know he's safe. I want him to know I respect him. I want him to know that maybe he'll be nice to me, not give me a bad ticket. But if he does, you know what else I'm not going to do? I'm not going to pick up the phone and start calling other law enforcement officers to get me out of that ticket. I broke the law. Oh, I just lost a few votes on that one, but that's good preaching. We don't want to answer and be accountable, but we tell our children too. I'm saying to you because I love you today that we need to get back to a place of honor where we honor government and we honor authorities that are set before us, that we demonstrate honor in our life. The Word said to do it. I don't always agree with my president, but I'm going to respect him. I'm going to tell you something else. If President Obama walked in here or Hillary Clinton walked in here, if she was the president, I would show her respect. I'm not going to disrespect her. I don't have to agree with her. Why are you telling me this today? I'm telling you this because we as the body of believers, if we're going to win people to Jesus and share the love of Christ, we got to live a life of honor. We don't have to agree, but we don't have to be mean. Well, amen. You know it's the truth. You may not like it, but it's still the truth. Parents, second biblical precedence, honor your parents. Ephesians 6:2 said, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Kids, listen to me. Honor your parents. Adults, listen to me. Honor your parents. It's not always easy to do. Maybe you have a bad parent. But there are standards by which you can still honor them. Can I tell you the first place you start by honoring them is praying for them. Blessing them in the name of Jesus. Show honor. Show respect. Somebody say amen. Slap your neighbor. Tell him, wake up. We got food to go eat in a few minutes. Preacher's not going to keep you much longer. He's hungry too. Letter C. Are you ready? The second or third area of biblical precedence is ministry leaders. 1 Timothy 5:7 said, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. That actually includes me. Amen. There used to be a time that we respected God's men and respected biblical Christian leaders. Amen. Can I tell you something? If you come to me and you're bad-mouthing one of the elders of this church, I'm going to shut you up. Pastor, that's rough. No, it's gospel. It is wrong to live in a world today where we so freely and easily bad-mouth leaders in God's house. You don't have to like them. You don't have to agree with them. But the Word said to respect and to honor them. Oh, I ain't getting many amens, but it's the truth. When you can sit around the lunch table on Sunday and badmouth your pastor, but that hadn't happened that I know of. I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand either. But when you can sit around the lunch table and badmouth God's man, well, he ain't God's man. Who are you to decide that? Oh, I know the quote. They say the Bible says, touch not God's anointed. Well, he ain't anointed. Shame on you. Go back and look at how Saul was doing, how he was acting, and David still wouldn't mess with him. Come on now. All of a sudden we don't like holiness preaching anymore, but you're still getting it anyway. Couldn't he be a little more easier going this morning, Pastor? We got guests today. Well, it's still the Bible. When you walk into a restaurant and you hear people sitting there after Sunday service bad-mouthing, I've heard it with my own ears, bad-mouthing their pastor. Shame on you. You'd have no idea what it's like unless you've walked there. You look around this morning, I say there's probably 165, 170 people in service. I don't know. You look around this morning and you go through this church, there'll be all kinds of opinions. What they'd like me to wear, not like me to wear. How they'd like me to preach, not preach. Some of you care about what I eat. I drink Diet Coke. I done got reprimanded by several for drinking Diet Coke. Leave my Diet Coke alone. Hallelujah. It's funny the things that we don't consider to be scripture. Can I tell you something? If you honor God's men and they're wrong, God will deal with it. He'll bless you and He'll deal with that problem. He'll fix it. He'll move it out of the way. If somebody's out of line or doing something they shouldn't do, show honor. You're never going to win by trying to tear somebody down. You're never going to get victorious by trying to hurt someone. Love them. Build them up. Pray for them. Bless them. That is the Word of God. You want somebody to honor you? Show honor. You want a life without honor? Don't give honor. Amen. You know what? When I get old, and I hope I live to be to a ripe old age of, I don't know, 99. I want my wife and children to be able to say something about me. If they're still here, I don't outlive them. That they're proud of. Not a lie. I sat on the front porch last night with my wife. She didn't know I was going to do this. While tears ran down her face. And she said to me, why is it that when you love people so much and you do everything you can to help them, they still turn on you? She looked at me and she said, sweetie, you're a good man. I started taking my phone out and record that. But we sat there and encouraged one another and loved one another. Nothing's wrong here, so don't misunderstand the context of what I'm saying. But over the years when you pastor, there are times that people hurt you. People that you did everything you knew to do to love still get mad at you. Lie about you. That's why I don't serve the Lord, Pastor. Well, you know what? There's liars in the world and there's liars in the church. Church isn't for perfect people. The church is for the sick and the hurting and the broken. The third thing I want you to write down, and we're almost done. I know you're ready for that good cooked food. A true life of honor reflects the love of Christ. John 4:7-18. I'm going to tell you about the story instead of reading it to you. But it's John 4:7-18. You find that a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus was there at the well. In our culture, even today, for the most of us, it would be unacceptable. You would want your children not to relate to that person, but to try to avoid interaction with that person. The woman's there at the well, and Jesus begins to ask her for water, and they have the discussion about the water of life, and if she really knew who He really was, that she would ask of Him for that, and He would have given it to her, and she would have never thirsted again. And they go on in the conversation, and she talks about her husband. He said, the one you're living with is not your husband. In fact, you've had five. Do you remember the story? And she said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. And every time I ever read that, Miss Patty, you know what I think? Duh. I mean, the man just told you had five husbands. Only God could have known it. Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. It always catches me that way. She said, sir, why would you talk to me? You know why? Because he knew that every single person mattered. Jesus was hated by the religious crowd, the denominational structure of the day, because he loved the sinner no matter how bad or rotten they were. He cared about them. He honored them. Not their sin, but the person. Jesus taught us to hang out with the outcast, to touch the lepers, to love the sinner, to bless the widow, and to care for the children. I say to you this morning that Jesus is calling us to a life of honor today. I want to read you one more story, and we're going to close in prayer. An old missionary couple had been working in Africa for years. They were returning to New York City to retire. They had no pension, their health was broken, and they were defeated, discouraged, and afraid. They discovered that they were booked on the same ship as President Teddy Roosevelt, who was returning from one of his big game hunting expeditions. No one paid much attention to them. They watched the fanfare that accompanied the president's entourage, with passengers trying to catch a glimpse of this great man. As the ship moved across the ocean, the old missionary said to his wife, "Something is wrong. Why should we have given our lives in faithful service for God in Africa and all these many years and have no one care a thing about us?" Someone said this to me this week and didn't know that I would be preaching this. Here this man comes back from a hunting trip and everybody makes much over him, but nobody gives two hoots about us. "Dear, you shouldn't feel that way," his wife said. "I can't help it. It doesn't seem right." When the ship docked in New York, a band was waiting to greet the president. The mayor and other dignitaries were there. The papers were full of the president's arrival, but no one noticed this missionary couple. They slipped off the ship and found a cheap flat on the east side, hoping the next day to see what they could do to make a living in the city. That night, the man's spirit broke. He said to his wife, "I can't take this. God is not treating us fairly." His wife replied, "Why don't you go into the bedroom and tell that to the Lord?" Thank God for a good wife, amen. A short time later, he came out of the bedroom, but now his face was completely different. His wife asked, "Dear, what happened?" "The Lord settled it with me," he said. "I told him how bitter I was that the president should receive this tremendous homecoming when no one met us as we returned home. And when I finished, it seemed as though the Lord put his hand on my shoulder and simply said, 'But you're not home yet.'" See, the real honor will come in the end. Maybe you're here today and maybe you are forgotten. Maybe your father doesn't love you. Maybe you're not loved by your children or your grandchildren. Maybe life has given you a twist or a curveball or hurt you in some way that you wish you could just get past. Well, I say to you this morning that Jesus Christ gave his life for you, and that he loves you. It's up to us to honor him. If no one ever pats you on the back and no one ever recognizes you, know this. There will come a day. Kylie, do you remember the scripture you posted on Facebook the other day? Do you remember what it was? Can you tell it? Can you tell what it says in the microphone? I know I put you on the spot. It can be paraphrased. It's okay.
"The pain that you've been feeling does not compare to the joy that is coming."
Amen. Honor. Would you stand with me all over this house this morning? I want to ask you to bow your heads with me and close your eyes if you would, right where you're standing. I'm going to ask everyone that possibly can just to be as still as they can. No matter what I've preached, what I've said, or what's been done in the service, there is nothing more important than what we're about to do right now. There are people that stand in this room from all walks of life this morning. But the question remains the same for every single one of us that are here today. I still believe in giving honor. I honor my family. I honor my wife. I honor my children. I honor my ministry. I honor my Savior. I stand when the national anthem sung. I honor. I honor my veterans. I honor. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying today, if you want to live a life of honor, you need to have inside your heart the one who is truly honor, who teaches honor. You want to show respect and gratitude? Let Jesus Christ, the one that shows respect and gratitude, live inside you. Statistics tell us that someone over the age of 65 that's never accepted Christ is far less likely to ever come to the saving grace, Jesus Christ. But I don't live by statistics, I live by faith. So I'm going to ask you, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if there's anyone here today that says, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Christ. I'm ready. I want to live that life of honor you've talked about. I want to change how I've been living. I want my children, my grandchildren, my family, my friends to look at me and be proud of the man or the woman that I've become. I want to honor God today by surrendering my life. If you're ready to accept Christ today, you're ready to be born again. You're ready to be transformed by His life and His blood. On the count of three, would you raise your hand? 1, 2, 3. Thank you. Thank you. Who else this morning? Thank you. Who else this morning? Who else this morning? There's more here today. You say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've strayed, and I just want to rededicate my life. I want a fresh start. I want to live a life of honor today. Maybe you're a person that struggles with a bad attitude or being disrespectful. You want God to change that in you. Would you raise your hand right now? Thank you. Who else? Thank you. Who else? You don't have to keep them up. Pastor, that's me. Pastor, that's me. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you for joining us today. Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.